All right. So, can you just sort of start by introducing yourself? Tell me your name, your age, your nationality, and how long you've lived in Lewiston.
My name is Amran. I'm 24 years old. I've lived in Lewiston since I was 3, and I'm Somali.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so tell me a little bit about your relationship to Lewiston. I know you were 3 when you moved there, but just sort of can you tell me, you know, why you came, if you remember, if that was something that sort of came up at all, and just, yeah, what it was sort of like to sort of come there, grow up there.
Because when we left Somalia and went to Kenya. Well, I was born in Kenya. My mom was Somalia and came to Kenya. And then we were first brought to Tennessee. And then I think we only stayed there for a year. And we came to Lewiston. And I remember it was a time where, like, a lot of Somalis were coming.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mom was telling me how, like, there was, like, this riot with, like, the KKK members. And then she had to, like, hide in the closet with me because she was so scared. So that was, like, her, like, opening to Lewiston, but she moved here because there were so many Somali people and she wanted to be around her people. We lived there with my cousins and a few of her friends in Tennessee, and they all picked up and came to Lewiston together, and they would like all walk together to like Walmart and stuff and just like all just created like a community amongst each other before like the Somali community was big.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So there's so many things there.
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about that, about how you define community.
So for community, it's just the people that I grew up with around me. Like, there's people that are not related to me that I call aunts and uncles because they've literally just, like, helped raise me and I grew up with. Like, if I see a Somali person, that, like, I'm always like, oh, hi, auntie, hi, uncle. Like, some people I don't even know their actual names. But I just grew up with the community helping raise me because my mom came here as, like, a single mother until she married my stepdad. Mm-hmm. So it was basically her and her friends. Like, she would always be holding my hand. Like, people, like, now when they see me, they're like, wow, you grew up. I remember when your mom was, like, dragging you around. So the community helped raise me. And basically, that's how I define community, the people around you who come forward and help you in your time of need and help you when you're going through things. So, yeah.
That's beautiful. And so you talk about family and community a little bit interchangeably.
Yeah.
We're going to come back to community a bit, but I also want you, can you tell me about your family? So you talked about, you know, your mom bringing you here and that there were also other aunts and uncles who might have been actually related or friends, right? Part of the community you picked up and moved here. Tell me just sort of about, like, your family and your family life.
So originally it was just me and my mom, and then she married my dad, and they had my siblings. So I have 7 younger siblings. One is turning 18, and one just turned 18 last year. They've grown up so fast. But basically I've been just the bigger sister. I remember when my first sister, like Amira, she was born, I would like scribble her name on my on my papers because I was so excited to have a sibling. And then I was just like excited for all of them, because I think for me, I grew up just like as a nurturer and like always just looking after them. So it's been something where like I've always just been watching them. Like right now I'll be texting them like, what are you doing? Are you out of school? Where are you at? So I just grew up like in a very tight-knit family where like all my siblings were all very close, even though like the age gap is big. But we all grew up very close and like basically just all like, yeah.
And so you're the oldest of the siblings?
Yeah.
And were all your siblings born in Lewiston?
Yeah.
Yeah. And are they all still there in Lewiston?
Yeah, they're all still here.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so your time, you came to Lewiston when you were 3. Have you been here the entire time?
Oh, I lived in Gorham for 3 years on campus because I really wanted to leave Maine for school because I think just growing up in Maine and wanting to see the world, that was something that I wanted to do. But my mom was like, you're not going anywhere. And then so I went to CM and then I transferred. I didn't even tell her I was transferring. I just, like, the day of, I was like, by the way, I'm leaving. I'm living on campus. And she couldn't say no. So I just, like, moved up and just moved to campus. But then I would get homesick, which, like, I was like, oh, imagine if I went farther. I couldn't just drive back. So, but I think it just made me love Lewiston more, being away for, like, those 3 years. Because I think I just realized how much of, like, a community, because, like, there's been, like, a lot that has happened in those 3 years where, like, I can go home and be like, oh, I'm surrounded by people that love me and, like, care for me, which has helped, yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you did leave for 3 years. You got homesick.
Yeah.
You missed the community. What were some things that sort of, I don't know, just, like, drew you back to Lewiston?
I think they were, like, which is weird, but I think there were a lot of losses of, like, community members. And then I remember my cousin passed, and thank you. And then me and my friend, like, me and my cousin, she's one of my best friends. We've been friends since we were little, came back, and I realized, like, how tight-knit the community was. And, like, people would always be there, like, helping us and, like, coming to, like, because her mom was in Canada. So it was just her and her sisters, but, like, the community was there to just, like, come and talk to them, come and, like, help them. The funeral, they, like, covered it and stuff, and I was like, whoa. And then just seeing how quick people were with, like, just coming and just helping out, I was like, if I was in another state, I wouldn't have those people to help me if anything happened. So, like, just seeing that and just seeing if anything does go bad, I'm able to, like, call up my dad and be like, hey, can you please come here? Like, I've had many flat tires where I'm just like, I need you to come help me. And so just being able to do that. And now that my sisters drive, being able to just call them and be like, hi, can you please just come pick me up? So just being, having the fallback plan and having somebody to just lean on when things go awry. Yeah.
And so you talked about that community, right? People sort of, like, coming together, right? Mm-hmm. Around loss, around support and things. Are there other, like, you know, traditions, customs, things that, you know, you practice?
Like, Eid is something that's big where the whole community is together, like, all of Lewiston, and we all go pray. It used to be at the Armory, and then it was outside at... It's right behind Julia's, the skating place, behind the high school.
Oh, I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, okay. And then it was outside there, and then it was back again at the Colisée. It was behind the Colisée, and then it was back in the Armory, but just seeing everybody. Like, there's people that you won't see for, like, the whole year, but you'll see them at Eid, and you'll be like, oh my God, hi, how are you? And then my dad has, like, all his friends come to our house, and they, like, eat. And, like, my mom will cook, like, really nice food. There's food that she, like, doesn't cook until it's Eid. And I'm just like, I've been waiting for this.
Oh, wow.
So it's really nice to just see everybody and just be surrounded by people.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Is there something that she cooks, like, around that time that you really like? Like, what's the thing that you're waiting for?
It's this meat. I don't even know what kind of meat it is, but it's so good. And she makes halwa. Mm-hmm. And, like, she just makes so much food. Like, sometimes I don't even look at it. I'll just eat it.
Nice. And are there other things?
Hey. How are you doing?
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Want to see you again.
Good. You too. And so your mom makes lots of food. People come together that you hadn't seen for a long time. So it sounds like that's one of your favorites. Are there other things that, you know?
I think Eid is the biggest one.
Yeah. and so a couple more things. So talking about sort of, you know, customs, Eid is obviously a religious holiday. Mm-hmm. Are there other ways that religion plays a role in your life?
I think my religion has, like, guided me a lot. Just being, like, being able to go to the mosque and, like, pray with people, like, be around people surrounded. Growing up, a lot of my friends that I made were at Duxie, which is, like, Sunday school, but, like, it's Saturday, Sunday, Friday, and, like, it was hard because we had to memorize the Quran, but, like, a lot of the people that I grew up with them through there. So, like, I met people from, like, Auburn who would all come to, or people from, like, different, like, I went to Montello, so they would be going to, like, different schools in Lewiston. Okay. But, like, we wouldn't see each other, but, like, we met up during Dixie and got to know each other. Oh. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. And so, all right, we talked about, like, customs, about religion. What about language? Does language play a role?
Yeah. Sometimes I'll see somebody in, like, the street, per se, and if I speak Somali, they'll be very more, like, willing to talk to me, even though my Somali is, like, kind of broken.
Right.
My mom understands me, so that's all. But, like, they'll just be like, oh, okay, you're familiar, like, you can, like, speak with me in, like, my own language. Like, I realize that people are more, like, welcoming when they realize that you can speak their language. Yeah.
Right. And so, you speak Somali, you speak any other languages?
No, I wish.
I mean English, right?
Yeah.
Right. Who do you speak with? You said your mom understands you, so do you speak with Somali regularly with your mom?
My dad, my siblings. Sometimes it'll be like, I'll speak in English and she'll answer me in Somali.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I remember somebody was at the house and they're like, what are you guys? But like, sometimes I won't even realize that I'm speaking in Somali or she's speaking in Somali. It'll just be like a back and forth thing.
Right.
And then like, someone's like, your children don't know Somali, and I'm like, yes, I do.
Oh.
It's just easier sometimes.
Right.
Yeah.
Language does play a role, and you speak to folks in the community sometimes, right?
Yeah.
In Somali. In English. So I guess a couple more questions that I have for you is wants to talk about, politics and work, right? So let's start with, like, politics. Like, does politics play a role in your life? And if so, how do you participate in politics?
I think politics plays a role in everybody's life, especially being, like, a Black woman. There's so many policies that, like, affect us.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, so many people running for office that, like, if they do get into office, that's definitely going to affect me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I wasn't into politics until Trump was running, and I was like, hold on, wait a minute. And I originally was a nursing major, and I thought I wanted to go into nursing, but then I was like, I don't do blood.
Right.
So I studied political science, and I realized that it was something that I genuinely liked, and then just understanding politics, like going phone banking, doing letters to the editor, just doing all that, like, in college, just made me more, like, inclined to just go into politics. I've thought of running sometime, but it's not, like, I think just the environment is kind of not the best, so I don't think it's something that I want to do at the moment.
Right.
But maybe one day.
Something down the road.
Yeah.
Wow. And so you said when Trump got elected, that's the thing that made you, like, stop and pay attention.
Yeah.
Do you remember, like, what did you do? Was it, like, a conversation? Was it, like, an event?
I started talking to my peers, just having conversations with my peers and just talking about, like, what he was doing, things that were happening in the, climate, like, then, because there was so much that he was saying. And I'm like, there's no way he can get elected. But then that's when I learned about the Electoral College. And I was like, hold on. So I was just like, okay, me not knowing about that, there's so much that I don't know about. And, like, if I don't know about these things, then it's more likely that I can get taken advantage of. Or, like, there's things that can happen in the community that I won't know. So I wanted to, like, educate myself and learn more. Oh, excuse me. So I went to, when I transferred to USM, I was like, okay, I want to study political science. So I started learning more, doing, like, more of my research out of the classroom and just having more discussions. I joined Senate at USM and just got more involved and, like, hands-on, because I just was like, okay, the one thing that people can't take away from me is my voice, so I'm going to use it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
And so once you graduated USM and, like, went to Lewiston, did you sort of take this, like, political urgency with you, or?
Somewhat. Around that time, I lost one of my brother. So, thank you. And then I was working at Gateway. We were doing civic engagement and stuff.
Okay.
But I also wanted to work more on substance use. But there was politics. There's politics that, a lot of politics that run through that, too. So I wanted to work on that. So, that's why I started my organization.
Okay.
Just to build upon getting the BIPOC and immigrant, getting them resources, because I realized that, the community wasn't talking about it, but also there wasn't a lot of discussion when it came to, the higher-ups, because there's so many people of color who are incarcerated for, weed charges, but now weed is legal, so what's happening now? So, it's that, conversation, and then there's people who don't know that if you're not a citizen and you, now that weed is legal, you can still get deported for it, because... Yeah, so there's so much politics when it comes to that, too. So just learning so much and learning the nitty-gritty, things was just very interesting.
Wow. So it sounds like, a lot of, your personal and political kind of really came together to form this organization.
Yeah.
And that's, really powerful. I've learned about, generational noir over the year, and it's, really amazing. And is it the... first or the only? Say a bit more about that.
Because I grew up in Lewiston, and I realized that a lot of my peers were going through substance use disorder, but nobody was talking about it.
Right.
And these it would always just be they're a bad kid, don't talk to them, or that's a bad person, don't talk to them. But nobody was ever talking about the underlying issues, the trauma that led them to use, or what was happening. If somebody wanted to come back into the community and get help, there weren't that many resources for people of color to get help. But also, the resources that were here in Maine, they were all white-centered and white-led. So how are you supposed to ask someone for help who's never walked in your shoes or doesn't understand what you're going through? So that's something I wanted to do. I wanted to make an impact first and foremost for the youth. A lot of the youth came, going back to community support, the youth were the ones that stood by me and wanted to help. A lot of them from Lewiston, and a lot of the parents actually were very willing to have the conversation, because I think they realized that so many people were being lost, that they wanted to make a difference and start the discussion. Yeah.
And how was, I feel like we could talk for hours, right, about that, but how was it sort of bringing, parents into these conversations? Was it very different than talking to your peers?
It was scary. The first, when I came up with the idea, I had to sit both my parents down and just be like, this is what I'm doing. I know you might be uncomfortable, but it's something that I'm passionate about and I really want to make a difference. So I just need you guys to stand by me and support me. And they've always been supportive of me my whole life. They've been my number one cheerleader, so they were willing to stand by me. And most of the events and stuff, they were the ones that were telling people, oh, my daughter's having an event, please come. Especially with the launch party, when I was calling all her friends, she's just, please come and support her. It was very hard to start the conversation, but having both my parents by my side made it more made me more comfortable. Because I'm just if anybody, if I get any blowback or anything, I still have my family support, and that's the only people I need at the end of the day. I can go home to them and just have them just support me.
Yeah. And brought in sort of, you have the family support there. Are there other sort of elders in the community who are sort of having these conversations, and the broader political conversations, the things that you mentioned, are those part of the conversations too?
Yeah, a lot of people have been very open about it and willing to come. During our first community conversation, we had a few of the moms who came and started were very open and wanted to have the conversation, and we're talking about, okay, this is what's happening in the community, how are we going to get help, how are we going to start these conversations. So a lot of the older people, I went to the mosque, and the head of the mosque said that he was like, this conversation, like, we've tried to have the conversation before, but it didn't go anywhere. So if you're willing to do it, we'll stand by you. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try. He's like, good luck. Thank you. So they've been, like, very supportive with it. So just seeing where it goes now, okay, and just seeing what happens, hopefully we'll be able to make an impact.
Wow. Are you seeing the impact of the organization yet, you think?
Somewhat. Just seeing, because before even the conversation was something that was being had in the open, nobody was talking about it out in the open. Like, it was very, very hush-hush. So just being able to sit at a table with, like, a few other people and just have this conversation, that, I think, within itself is impactful. And just destigmatizing it overall, because I think so many youth are struggling, not just youth, older people are struggling with substance use disorder and just mental health all in all. So just getting them the help and just talking about it has been, yeah.
And so having the discussions out in the open, what does that mean? Does that just mean outside of the home and family, or the people they don't know?
Just even in front, oh, sorry.
No.
Just even in front of someone else, because I think a lot of the parents would always be like, my child wouldn't do that, so why am I going to talk about it? Why am I going to have this conversation? So just having them in the room while we're having these conversations is just like one step forward. Yeah.
So parents are in the room while youth are discussing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's been interesting, but like a good first step.
Yeah, that's big. And congratulations
on you
doing that, and, you know, having the support, right, of your parents, of the mosque as well. No, it seems like it has really, you know, big future, and it's very important. And so you mentioned, as you were, you know, thinking about starting Generation Noir, is that what I'm saying?
Noir,
okay.
Yeah.
Tell me, how did you choose the name?
So all my siblings, their last name is Noor.
Okay.
So, and it also means light, so I think it's going to be a generational effort, and hopefully this organization will be the light.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
You said that you were working at Gateway before you started it, and you're working at Gateway now.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about the work that you do?
I'm the community resource coordinator, so I'm overseeing the mentor program.
Okay.
So it's people who've been here for less than 5 years, who are between the ages of 13 to 25. Yeah,
okay.
13 to 25. And I'm connecting them with a mentor who helps them with their housing needs, getting school help, because they're not able to get financial aid. So applying for scholarships, and maybe they need their ride to work, or even applying for work. So just anything that they need, connecting them with the right resources.
Okay, nice. And how long have you been doing that?
A year. Over a year now. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And was this a program that was already in place before you came, or did you
come?
Okay. And so it had already started in your...
Because I was a part of their COVID Youth Coalition while I was in high school. College.
Right.
While I was in college, when COVID first hit, I wanted to, like, make a difference, and I realized that they were doing this program, so I joined it, and I was one of the first people who are a part of that program. And then once I graduated, there was an opening, so I applied and thankfully got it.
Oh, nice. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
And so you were part of the COVID youth program.
Yes.
And what did you do in that program?
So during COVID, we connected with the BIPOC community and people who didn't normally get resources.
Okay.
And connected them with resources within the community.
Okay.
And then told them once the vaccine came out, explaining the vaccine to them.
Okay.
And explaining what was happening within their community, getting them masks, getting them food if they did have COVID. So just connecting them with anything that they needed.
Okay. And then you also participated in the mentoring program?
No.
Okay. So you worked through that, and then you found out about the opening.
Mentoring. Yeah. And then I applied.
Okay. And so... can you tell me a little bit about the mentoring program? Is it sort of like folks in the Somali community that it services? Or?
It's anybody who is an asylum seeker or has been here less than 5 years in every community.
Oh, wow. And do you focus on it in Lewiston?
Lewiston, Portland, Biddeford, Westbrook, all around Maine. Yeah. Wow.
And are you going? Are you actually still driving to all these places?
Yeah, sometimes when I'm connecting with the mentee and, like, bringing them their iPad or, like, connecting, because they get iPads because, like, they are not, like, some people might not have phones and communication was an issue, so we got them iPads to communicate. So, like, once we're, like, in taking them in the program, sometimes people will want you to go to their home, so going to their homes to connect with them or connecting with them wherever they're at. Okay. And then once I connect them with their mentee, it's usually their mentor. I mean, with their mentor, it's usually their mentor that their mentor is a middleman, and then they connect with me to connect with their mentee.
Oh, nice. And so how do you find the mentors for the program?
They're youth in the community who apply, so they all just usually apply, yeah.
Oh, that's nice. And, cool. And do you have, like, relationships with people already, like, who are the mentors? Like, do you know some of these folks from, like, growing up in the area?
Yeah.
Okay, nice. Okay, so that was question one. Was there anything else about work? No, okay. So that's your job here. And then a couple more questions. How have you seen Lewiston change over time?
I think it's gotten a lot more diverse and than when I was younger.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because I remember sometimes when I was, like, in preschool or, like, a kindergarten, I was, like, the only Somali girl in the room. And then as time grew, like, I had more people that looked like me. So it got a little more diverse. But also, I think, more youth-led.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Like, in the space, maybe because I'm just in a lot of spaces that are youth-led. Mm-hmm. But I think it has the potential to be more youth and, like, BIPOC-led. Mm. But, like, at the moment, yeah. I think it has. It has a lot of potential. It just needs a lot of work today.
Yeah.
Oh, also, going back to community,
yeah.
My first job was at the Italian bakery, and
wow.
It was run by a family. It was Lisa and her daughter, and, like, I think also they showed me a part of, like, community, because, like, she would always, like, drive me home, or, like, aww, I would, like, get donuts, because, like, I remember I got the job because I was always at the Italian bakery. I would always walk from the high school to the Italian bakery to home, so, like, it would always be my stop, and she'd be like, do you, she was just like, I was like, I'm looking for a job. She's like, do you want to work here? You're always here. And I was like, yeah. So it was my first job, and, like, it was my first, like, way, like, it showed me connections also, because it was just like, oh, like, they were willing to hire me because I was always there, and they got to know me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And are they Italian? Is it Italian family?
I think so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They don't own it anymore, unfortunately. Okay. They sold it. But it was, like, given down to, like, it was her father's and her grandfather's. It's a nice place.
Oh, wow. So it's still there, not owned
it's
by
still
them,
there.
But, like, passed down.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Sorry. I have to, check it out. Maybe we'll
take really
a picture.
Nice food.
We'll take a picture.
Yeah.
That's Italian bakery. Okay. What do you get from there? You said donuts.
I don't like donuts anymore because I think I, like, overindulged in donuts. But their breakfast pizza is really, really good.
They
have really nice breakfast pizza. You should try it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to put that on my list.
Yeah.
A breakfast try.
Yeah.
That's really cool to sort of think about your community, right? As folks, like, took care of you, but also, like, you needed, right, a job and showed you kindness and, like,
they came to my launch party for Generational North.
Oh,
yes. And I was like, yeah.
So they're still in Lewiston, they just don't own the bakery.
Yeah, they
just
don't own the bakery anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. Oh, good. And maybe they could come to the opening for this so to see you there too. And so you said you've seen Lewiston change over time. It's gotten more youth-led, more diverse. What does that mean, more youth-led?
I think there are a lot of programs that are run by youth, or, like, organizations that are more willing to take youth. Like, also a lot of nonprofits. There have been a lot of nonprofits that are run by people of color that are, because I think a lot of people of color said, okay, you guys are not going to help me, I'll help my community myself. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's Fatima Hussein's and Fosia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, like, there's just a lot of, like, people of color led like organizations that are really like ready to like make the move because nobody was helping them,
right.
Which I think also was like shows, and they're like hiring youth, so yeah,
right.
So I think they realize that like the youth are the future.
I think that's a beautiful note to end on. I always, you know, when I end interviews, one of the things that I always make sure to ask is that, you know, if there's anything that I haven't asked that you think it's important to share.
No.
Got it? We got it all?
Yeah.
All right. I love it. Thank you.